Amen. Would you grab your copy of God's Word and turn to the Gospel of John as we read John's account of Christmas story? John 1, the reading tonight will be John 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and to his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace in truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thanks for joining us to worship the Lord on Christmas Eve. It's a busy season. I get it. I have four children myself, but there's something really special about coming together as God's people to worship him and to keep him the center of all things. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us think rightly about him and to worship him rightly in spirit and truth. Join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you in our best humble way that we can manage, Lord. We are a people who are in greater need than we realize, each and every one of us, Lord. And you perfectly supply, namely in the Son of Jesus Christ, everything that we need. Be with us now as we look into the word of truth, reveal to us your truth, and shape us into the image of God that you originally created us to be, from which we fell. We pray this through the power of the incarnate name, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a pleasure again to be with you at the same time. I feel humbled to be preaching to you this week. I closely feel my unworthiness to preach grace and truth, that of God to his own people. When you feel the weight of sin and the consequence of your failing, you just want to hide. You don't want to stand up in front of people. You want to hide from one another. You want to hide from yourself. You don't even want to really see yourself sometimes, right? We want to hide from God. We know that he is holy and perfect, so we feel unworthy of his love and his affection. Now, I apologize if my introduction to the message tonight feels strange or maybe even unexpected, because Christmas Eve service sermons are supposed to be jolly and cheerful with a slight distant ring of sleigh bells in the background, right? My prayer for this word tonight is that we receive the gift of the fullness of God in Christ Jesus, that we receive it into our hearts and our minds and our souls. And for that to be accomplished, church, we need to be authentic. Christmas is a season of extremes. It could be the most joyful season, families gathering together, reflecting on sweet memories, giving and receiving, eating delicious foods, even listening to Christ-exalting songs when we're at the mall. But it can also be, for others, a season of sorrow. It can exacerbate our regular feelings of loneliness. It can cause deeper sorrow when we consider loved ones who are lost that now make the season a little less magical. This isn't lost on the church. It's not lost on the culture. It's always strange when I hear Christmas breakup songs. Next year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. You guys know that song? Maybe these extremes of the Christmas season are meant to point us to something beyond the lights and the wrapping paper and our favorite movies. We will never have that perfect picture Christmas or even Christmas Eve as it's presented in the Hallmark movies. So yes, I'm trying to be authentic in my way tonight, church, because this brokenness that I speak of, that I feel even now as I speak, it's not just the consequence of my present sin. It's actually the absence of the fullness of something that I deeply need. It's the absence of the fullness of something that we all need, whether we realize it or not. And what we need present more than anything is the presence of the glory of God. Paul tells us in Romans that we were created for the glory of God, and we've fallen short of it. And now we exist on a plane where we are not only infinitely other than God, we are infinitely separated from that God who once walked with us. Now, over the past 4 weeks, we've celebrated in our Advent series the advent of the kingdom, where Pastor Ryan taught us on the threefold kingdom of God, God in his power and his grace and his glory. Well, this evening, what we're going to do is we're going to zoom in closer to the kingdom of God to see the king's face. Jesus is our king of power, grace, and glory, church. And I won't spend time now trying to convince you that Jesus is king. I believe that's been covered well. Instead, we will consider how the king of power, grace, and glory has come to us. Now, what is it that the Advent season should produce in us? Now, we know Advent means arrival, so we certainly consider the arrival of Jesus, our King, by his incarnation, right? But what does it mean that God would voluntarily assume human flesh in order to dwell with us? What I believe this means is that God loves us so much that he would perform the greatest act of humility the mind can fathom. And he would do that in order to be with you. Not because you have earned a place by his side. Not because you have earned through your life the favor of God looking upon you. In fact, the only thing that you have earned before the eyes of God is his real judgment. God wants to be with you because he chooses to love you for his glory. And that's great news. It's great news that you don't have to earn it. It's really, really good news that you are not good enough for God to love you, and yet he loves you. That's the gospel. So I encourage you to get your eyes off yourself. You are unworthy to dwell with God. That's what the Bible says. And now put your eyes on the free choice of God, for his free choice to love you as it's demonstrated in the incarnation. And that's what we've already read in John chapter 1. We're going to stay in this portion of scripture for the whole message. And what we're going to see here is that Jesus is the eternal creator God, and that he was rejected by his own creation. But nonetheless, he's come to his creation to dwell. So let's read this, John chapter 1, 1 through 5, once again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just like the beginning of the Bible, church, John opens his book with these words, "In the beginning." He wants us to think of Genesis chapter 1 here. Here we are given a behind-the-curtain scene of Genesis 1:1, that when God created the heavens and the earth, it was the Word that actually created it all. God said, "Let there be light." And John says, "And the Word went out and created the light." And everything that was made by someone called the Word. John is revealing to us the distinctions of who God is. That there is a God and the Word, and they're both present at the same time, and they're both the one God creator at the same time. Genesis says, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image." Then the Word made humans in the image of God. In the Word, we're told, is life. And the life was the light of men. Not just speaking of creation life, not just speaking of light at the moment of creation, but we're speaking of truth. Sin is very often described as darkness in the Bible. Sin causes us to stumble as if we're walking on a path in the dark. The Bible says that our sins are often done in darkness, and that God will bring our sin to light to expose our evil deeds. The light that Jesus brings is more powerful than the darkness, we're told. Amen? His light shines into the darkness, and we're told the darkness has not overcome it. Praise be to God. Then this light came into the world, but it was a stranger within its own creation, which is an odd thought. Let's read verses 9 through 11. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. Rejection is the repeated story of Jesus' life and ministry. And this is first seen at the moment of his birth. The King of Kings, the creator of the heavens and the earth, enters a virgin's womb, and at the moment of his birth, there was no castle. There were no scores of attendants to take care of him. Instead, he was born in a humble village called Bethlehem. His first clothes were torn pieces of cloth wrapped around him. His first contact with earth was being laid in an animal's feeding trough, because the inn was too full for a pregnant woman bearing the God incarnate to stay. Each year, as a church, we sing the words of "Prepare Him Room." And specifically, verse 4 hits me in the feels. The weight of Jesus' humility and the distraction of the world around us. It goes, "Oh, our hearts as busy as Bethlehem. Hear him knock. Don't say there's no room in the inn. Through the cradle, cross, and grave, see the love of God displayed. Now he's risen and he reigns. Praise the name above all names. Prepare him room. Prepare him room. Let the King of Glory come in. Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. John says here that we are guilty of having no room for Jesus when he came to earth. No room in the inn of Bethlehem. No room in our hearts. No room in our busy schedules to worship him as he ought to be worshiped. But Christ comes anyway. Not because he wants a warm welcome. He comes to claim what is rightfully his. Read with me verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Church, we call ourselves born again Christians. And like our first birth, we didn't birth ourselves. Our mothers did this for us, right? I hope. Our second birth, we're told here, is not of blood, meaning it's not of genetics or nationality, or even if we're from a line of royalty. It also says that it's not the will of the flesh. We don't force ourselves out of darkness into light. We're told Jesus brings the light to us. The word flesh is often used in the Bible to describe humanity as frail and weak and futile. Here, John uses the word flesh to describe us being unable to bring ourselves into the kingdom of God. This passage explains that our flesh needs saving from another. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, church, I ask, who became flesh? Notice it doesn't say God became flesh. Let's not forget verses 1 through 5, which set the stage that there is one named the Word who was with God, and this Word was God. So we see at least in verses 1 through 5, two persons. And here in verse 14, we see those two persons named. The Son from the Father. It was the Word who became flesh, the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ. Now, church, I believe that verse 2 of Hark the Herald Angels Sing to be the most amazing stanzas of poetry or lyrics that have ever been penned by humans on the incarnation. Let me remind you of those words. It begins with this: Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ our everlasting Lord. Jesus Christ, the eternal God, worshipped by angels, and he is their king. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. The Son leaves spiritual eternity to enter time and be humbly born from his own creation. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. We see God when we see Jesus in the flesh. We see God when we see Jesus in the flesh. Divine nature and human nature together in one person. This is what Paul calls a mystery. Pleased with us in flesh to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And here it is, church. Emmanuel, one of the divine titles or divine names of Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. And it's this historical fact, beloved, that the Son of God voluntarily became a human at the incarnation to be God with us. That demonstrates the humility of our King. Who has ever humbled themselves so incredibly? From the heavenly throne surrounded by angels to a manger surrounded by animals. No one could humble themselves like Jesus, because no one has ever possessed so much to surrender as Jesus did. His humility is unmatched. It's almost unbelievable. The Son who created the world was born into it. The Son who created air now relies on it to breathe into his lungs to live. The Son who made the light now needs it so he can see. The Son who once spoke and created now feels thirsty. The Son who is love, who has always been love, comes to be with us and love us in our flesh. Why? Because God loves us so much that he would perform the greatest act of humility the mind can fathom in order to be with you, because he loves you for his own glory. It's not a matter of, have I earned it? Am I worthy of it? No, no. He puts all of his love on you. And the Word became flesh. The eternal Son became flesh, we're told. And this is amazing, that this incarnation was not temporary. The Word became flesh when it was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit. It remained flesh when it was crucified and buried. It was raised to life in the flesh, and we're told it ascended to heaven in the flesh. Beloved, this act of incarnation, that in it, the infinite gap between God and man is forever bridged in Jesus Christ. Jesus is not just some good teacher. He's not a good example. He is the eternal God-man mediator between God and man forever. So this means that because Jesus was not just a man, that he is not infinitely other and separate from God. And because at the same time, Jesus is not only God, that means he is not infinitely and other separated from us. But because Jesus is fully God and fully man, only Jesus is able to bring us to God perfectly. Only as a God-man can Christ relate to us personally as a man, and at the same time, perfectly heal us and save us as God. And this healing and this saving, it leads us to that personal union with God through Christ, which will remain forever. I started the beginning of this message where I stated that what we need more than anything is the fullness of the glory of God. And that is exactly what King Jesus does for us when he dwells with us. He has dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, John says, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. It's not just that the King has come, it's how the King has come. He has come in the most humble fashion the mind can fathom, on a mission to deliver saving grace and truth to those who would receive him. Not of the will of their flesh, but by the Spirit of God. This beautiful mission by incarnation, fueled by God's eternal love, is ultimately a mission of redemption and love. More than anything that God has done, it's a saving work that displays the fullness of his glory forever. God began the world by dwelling with man until they rejected him. He returned in human flesh to dwell with us in order to save us. And we're told that he is coming again to bring us to his kingdom of glory, where we will dwell with him forever, with him as our king. I leave us now with a quote from a man named John Boys, who wrote, "Creation reveals God's greatness and his goodness. It's his creation that reveals his greatness and his goodness. But his work of redemption is a work of far greater might and mercy than the rest. For in the creation, God made man like himself. But in redemption, God made himself like man. Let's pray. Lord, help us to consider silently and prayerfully and humbly our incarnate God and King. Be with us, Lord, as we end this time of worship, meditating on the gospel of your love for us, Lord. And send us out, Lord, with confidence and truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.